Well, turn there. Turn to John chapter 10, if you would. John chapter 10, and we're not going to preach the entire chapter, but we are going to lift a verse, I believe, that represents the chapter and represents the message of the chapter. And sometimes we get a little carried away with the thoughts of chapters. I once was preaching, and I made a comment that the last several verses of this one chapter, it wasn't where I'm at now, but the last three or four verses of this chapter would have been better to have been placed over with the next chapter to keep the thought going. And a fella come up to me and rebuked me pretty firmly, saying that, hey, when God wrote the Bible, he put it the chapters the way he wanted it. And I said, okay. There's one thing it's hard to fix. Stupid. And I hope he learned later that God didn't separate the chapters when he wrote the book or the verses, but they did a good job when they did it, mostly. And this chapter, I believe, is showing us basically a contrast. It's a chapter of contrast. We're seeing the contrast of the shepherd and the thief, and that goes through several verses. And then we see the contrast of a shepherd and a hireling, and that goes through several verses. And then the contrast of the shepherd and the Jews, and that is given coverage of several verses. But the verse, I think, that represents it well is verse number 10. And we're going to look at that verse this morning. And basically, my time is going to be sharing with you a little bit of a word study, all right? There's five words. What about that? Five words in this verse. Now, I didn't write it. God wrote it and put it in the right chapter. But there's five things there. It's amazing how those things fall out, okay? Particularly when you're looking for them, okay? But verse 10, look at this. The thief cometh not but for to steal, that's one, and to kill, that's two, and to destroy, that's three. Now the contrast, these are the purposes of the thief. I am come that they might have life, that's four, and they might have it more abundantly, that's five. Now, don't argue with me, all right? That's five right there. I want to title the message, The Two Purposes. And we're going to look at these words, and I believe they pretty well exhaustively kind of say, this is what the thief comes to do. This is what the hireling's all about. And this is what the religious establishment will try to do. And then this is what I want to do. So those two purposes of God are that's revealed here. And we don't have to look to this chapter and look at people and try to imagine these purposes. Are you listening to me? The same things are at work in your life today. God's trying to accomplish a purpose, and the thief's trying to accomplish a purpose. And it's at work in your life, it's at work at mine, just like it was in this day. Now let's look at these words, if you would. In verse number 10, Bob says, the thief cometh not but to steal. To steal. You say, well, preacher, that's kind of obvious. A thief steals, all right? But the word steal here means more than someone breaking in a window or door. The word steal here means to filch. Now, if you're over 110 years old, and I know only one here that is qualified on that, it's an old English word, to filch. It means to pilfer, to rummage, to go through. And what he's saying here is the thief comes to pilfer through your life, to rummage through your life, and anything that he finds that's good, he's there to take it from you. That's what the thief does. When the thief comes, he doesn't go through places, you know, of little value. If the thief comes, I have got to call this week, and we're getting a security system put in our house. And it's kind of amazing when the fellow sat down and talked with me. He said, when a thief breaks into your house, there's two rooms he goes to. Two rooms, that's all. He'll pilfer, he'll work through two rooms. He said, first of all, he'll go to the bedroom. That's for jewelry and cash. Right then my wife's ears picked up. You know where he goes second? Goes to the bathroom for drugs. So when he's finished in the bedroom, finished in the bathroom, he's gone. Because the rest of the place is just junk. Amen. When Satan attacks your life, he's not interested in the junk. He wants to pilfer through, and if he can find a heart of compassion, he wants to take it. If he finds a heart to serve God, he wants to take it. Anything he finds good in your life, he wants to steal it and take for himself. He's not there to do any good. He's only there to do harm. Now, in my background, the closest thing, if I was to title the devil with an animal, he's a weasel. Amen. Now, some of y'all don't know what a weasel is. God help you. I hope you never had to find out what a weasel is. But a weasel will go in your chicken house, and he will slit the throat of a chicken and leave the body to lay there and rot. He'll kill every chicken in your chicken house just for the sake of killing and a little blood, and he'll destroy a whole lot just to get a little bit. Satan is a destroyer. Amen. He only wants to come to rummage through. If you got a good marriage, he's going to try to take it. You got a good testimony, he's going to try to take it. He only comes to steal. He has no desire for anything else. The word also means to strip. To strip. Just to take it away from him. Have you ever seen a fella in the gutter? He's a mess. He maybe has a background of some honorable position and once had a family and once had a job and once had some character and once had some integrity, and now he would sell his soul for a bottle. He would do whatever it takes to get the next fix. Preacher, how in the world does a person get there? Because Satan got into his life and stole everything that was good. Can I tell you something? That's his desire. And when we see our young people, when we see people that seemingly, you know, are just in a mess, and all of the studs and the tattoos and all of the garbage and all that, what's going on? That's just not society, and it's not just culture. It's the thief working in their life to take everything that's pure and clean and ruin it. Amen. He comes but for to steal. Let's look at the second word, to kill. Well, that's obvious. Not really. The word kill here means to sacrifice. It's not the word murder. It is the word to slay for a sacrifice. Satan wants our lives a sacrifice to him. He wants to strip it, to ruin it, to sacrifice it. He wants to kill everything so that, look what I took. Look what I took. That fella that's in the gutter, that has so much taken from him, every good thing, every clean thing, every pure thing was taken. And Satan sees that as a trophy to himself. He's one of my sacrifices. I slew him. Amen. It's like stuffing him and putting his head on the wall. Say, look what I captured. Look what I destroyed. Look what I mastered. Doesn't have to be a dead trophy. There's a whole lot of live trophies that have been mastered. And the scripture says, you know, whoever you obey, that's who you serve. It says, I come not but to steal and to kill. He's jealous of God, and he wants every slave he can make. He wants to sacrifice your health. He wants you to sacrifice your home. He wants you to sacrifice your marriage. He wants you to sacrifice your finances. Everything just stripped by him. Third word there. This is, when I studied this, it just, man, it spoke to my heart. He says he comes to destroy. He comes to destroy. Now, that's not through a terrorist attack, a bomb or a fire or something like that. But the word destroy here, listen to this now, means to mar beyond use. He wants to take what God wants in your life and wants to use it in your life, and he wants to mar it, to scar it, to destroy it to the point you can't be used of God. That's his effort. You see young people, and you see them being deceived, and they think they're cool, but what they're doing, Satan is working in their life, and it's Satan's effort to see how much he can destroy in a young person's life so that they don't have that capability to be used of God later on. Amen. That's what he wants to do. He wants to, you say, but preacher, God can forgive all that. Amen. But that doesn't mean the scars are healed. Amen. That doesn't mean that the memories are gone. And you can, whether you believe this or not, you can disqualify yourself from service that God intended you to have down the road. And it's Satan's desire to destroy, to mar, to ruin the usefulness. And boy, pastors see that every day. We try to warn people about that. We try to tell them, hey, listen, Satan's trying to, he's messing with you. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. And so many people with their response, they're saying, not with their words, but with their response, hey, I can handle this. I can handle this. When I get ready to turn around, I'll turn around. Well, I hope you can, but I'm going to tell you this: the deeper you dig the hole, the harder it is to get out of. The contrast. He says Satan has only these purposes. He comes, the Bible says, to steal, to pilfer through your life, to take everything good that he finds, to make a sacrifice of your life to his own cause, and then to mar you so bad that you can't be used to your potential in years ahead. Used to be a fellow in our neighborhood that traded and trafficked. They did that in West Virginia, didn't they? This guy didn't have a job. He was just a trader. He was always selling something, always had a truckload of something, and he just was a trader. And one day I come home and had a shotgun. And My dad said, "Where'd you get that shotgun?" I said, I bought it from Bob. He said, "Bob so-and-so?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got burnt." And I said, "Dad, that's not fair. You haven't even asked me how much I give for the gun." He said, "I don't care how much you give for the gun. You got burnt." And I said, you don't know that. You're just being critical now because I didn't ask you about it. He said, "You're right. If you had asked me about it, I'd have said, you're going to get burnt." And I said, "Well, that's yet to be seen." I probably didn't say it that arrogant because I'd have woke up in the corner. I probably said, "Well, we'll see." He said, "No, let's just go shoot your new gun." We went out and snap. Firing pin was broken, the gun wouldn't fire. He said, "I told you, you got burned." I said, "Without even looking at the gun, without knowing the price, without anything, how did you know I got burned?" He said, "I know Bob." Bob never trades unless he burns you. You think you're going to get him? You're not going to get him. He's made a living on people like you. If he traded with you, he burnt you. You mess with Satan, he's going to burn you. "Oh, but preacher, you don't know what's going on." I don't have to know what's going on. I know who you're dealing with. "Oh, but you don't understand. I've got plans." I don't have to have the details. When you are messing with Satan and this world, you're going to get burned. Now, it may take years for it to come out. But sooner or later, you'll find out his purpose was to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Now, the contrast. The Lord says, "I'm going to give you my purpose. I'm going to give you my purpose. I am come that you might have life." Amen. Look at verse number 10. He says, "I am come." That's Satan's purpose, to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose, and my purpose only, is that you might have life. You see, you're dead in trespass and sin. You are without life. You may be walking around and thinking you're the coolest thing you know since sliced bread, but I'm going to tell you something. Without Jesus Christ, you have no life. And he says, "I come that to rescue from that one that wants to kill you, to rescue from that one that's destroying you, that's sacrificing you. I come to help you. I come to give you a choice." You see, if Jesus hadn't have come and did what he did, we would have no option. We're born in sin. We live in sin, and we would die in sin. And some would have higher principles and character than others. Some would be more difficult of a target for Satan than others. But when you don't have any options, that's all you got. And sometimes when you look at people and you see their activities are eliminating their options, and you want to say, "Hey, don't waste your option." And the wonderful thing about it, as long as we have our mind, as long as we have our strength, when we are exposed to the Word of God, we have the option of receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior, and he gives us eternal life. Amen. The only life God knows anything about is eternal life. God don't know anything about. God doesn't give us a temporary life that lifts us from this purpose of Satan and starts us on a purpose with God that has an exit back into the world. Doesn't have that. Amen. He gives us life, and he gives us life eternal. I'm grateful for that. Thank God for it. Listen to what the scripture says in John 5. "For the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son." Now, this life originates in the Father. He has given it to the Son to have life in himself, and he gives us that everlasting life of God. The life I have now, I live with the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. God's option is to take us from this life of destruction and fulfilling the purpose of the thief to where we might have eternal life and an option to fulfill the purpose of God. Isn't that good? Amen. I'm glad God's got better options than Satan's got. I'm glad I saw a bumper sticker the other day. Said the worst day on the golf course is better than the best day at work. Well, evidently they've never played golf with me. Because I've had some days where I wish I just went to work. Amen. Amen. But I'd like to get a bumper sticker that says, the worst day in my Christian life is better than the best day I ever had as a lost person. Amen. Amen. God's options are a whole lot better. It's eternal life. It's everlasting life. It's fixed forever. And he says, that's the option I came. What's the thief going to give you? What's his options? What's the hireling going to do for you? What's his options? Jewish, what's religion going to give you? What's their options? My option is life forever. But not only life forever. Not only life when I crossed the river, the proverbial river. Not only when I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord said, hey, listen, by the way, not only is that life eternal, but it can be abundant right here and right now. That's the fifth thing. The purpose of God is to give abundant life. I'm not talking about health and wealth, but I am talking about something far better than that. Amen. The word abundant there, if I can pronounce this correctly, if I get it one time, I'm not going to refer to it again. But the word means superfluous. Superfluous. It means over the top. One other time that the word is not translated abundant, it's translated superfluous. Over when Paul was writing to one of the churches, he said, it's superfluous for me to speak to you of such and such. What he was saying was, hey, you're over the top on that. You're already there. You're abundant in that. It means running over the top. And I love people who are saved, but I love people who are living the abundant life right here on this earth. Amen. I get weary with crab apples. Amen. I just do. I just get weary with people who are trying to find something to criticize all the time. Something to find fault with. Some reason to frown. Some reason to be negative. Are you listening? That's not a good testimony. Amen. Now, we don't have a whole lot of young people here. We got some older folks here. Let me tell you, I'm not going to preach the message, but I got a message on how to get old and people still like you. Amen. Smile at me now. Because it's very easy to get old. Lose your sense of humor. Lose your joy. Lose all that sort of thing and just become self-centered on you and your problems. I'm not going to preach that message. It's not in John. It might be in John 7. I'll have to look. Might be in John 7. But one of my points, now you may not like the message after I give you a little couple of thoughts on it. One of my points is when you get old, learn how to mind your own business. Most sometimes when we get old, everybody's business is our business. The kids' business is our business. The grandkids, the neighbor's business is our, the pastor's business is our business. You know, when we get old, we need to learn how to say, that's none of my business. When people come and say, well, blah, 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 say, well, I don't know about that. That's just none of my business. Amen. A lot of things you need to learn to do when you're getting old that you didn't have to battle with so much younger. Amen. When you're working 60 hours a week and raising six kids and trying to pay a mortgage, you don't have time to get in other people's business. But boy, sometimes when we get older, we begin to feel like everything is our business. That's in John chapter 7. That's another day. He said, I come to give abundant life. If we're living on spiritual starvation, it's our fault, not God's fault. Amen. Well, preacher, I just feel like I'm just so far from God and I'm so anemic in my Christian walk. That's not God's fault. He said, I came that you might run over the top. Amen. I've got a girl that serves coffee at Hardee's, and I believe it's her delight to see how close to the top of the cup she can pour that coffee. If you got 1 ounce of that in you, you're burnt. Amen. You know what? She gives you your money's worth. That's kind of what this word means. It's just full to the top. You get your money's worth. Amen. That's the purpose of God. God's purpose is to give us life, eternal life, life in the future, life in heaven, life, but also an abundant life right here. That's His purpose. And if we will get to where God can fulfill His purpose in us. You say, preacher, how do I pray for this? I'm not sure you have to pray for this. This is something God does. You just get to where He can fulfill His purpose in you, and He'll do it. Amen. You get in the circumstances where Satan can fulfill his purpose. You don't have to pray, Satan, here I am, kill, steal, and destroy. No, you get to where he can get to you, he'll do what he came to do. If you just get to where God can do what He came to do, He'll do that for you. Amen. Abundant life, running over the top. And then it's enough to last forever. Lastly, it's an abundant life is one that you got enough to share with somebody else. Amen. A smile will do more than anything else you'll ever have in your arsenal. Just a warm smile and pleasantness and just a heart for people. Amen. Amen. And that'll do it. My daughter, when she got out of high school, went to work for Lowe's up in North Carolina. She didn't work for the food division, the hardware and lumber yard. She worked for the food. Now, I don't know whether it's here, but there's Lowe's grocery stores, big, big, big chain up there. And she worked in the front end, which is the office department. And she started out there taking care of people in the going through the line. And everybody just loved her. On Tuesdays, they brought the rest homes in there to shop. And boy, they just all loved her and hugged her and all this stuff. And she started taking tracks and putting them in the grocery bags. And the manager came up and said, we can't do that. Now, you can't put tracks in the grocery bag. She said, okay. And she came to me, she said, Daddy, what can I do if I can't put tracks in it? I said, Cindy, when those people come through your line, smile at them and say, good morning, how are you? We're sure glad you came today. And I said, if you just have a pleasant, sweet spirit, that'll be your track. And people will want to know you. They'll want to get acquainted with you. And then you just tell them. If you smile much, pretty soon somebody's going to ask you what's wrong with you. Amen. They want to know what have you done and I don't know about. If you're just gracious. Amen. Now, I got about 3 minutes. I grew up in the mountains of North Carolina. And when you grow up in the mountains of North Carolina, Everybody you meet on the road, you wave at them. I had a fellow from Indiana down there with me one day. He said, "Man, you know everybody down here, don't you?" I said, "No, I've been gone so long, I don't know anybody." "Why are you waving at them?" And I thought, "Because thank God I'm back in North Carolina." That's why. But I just wave at them. Just wave at them. Just wave at them. And they wave back. Everybody does. In Indiana, you wave at somebody, you know, they run off the road. Different culture. Different culture. But you know what? I wave at them. I smile at them. I never will forget one time I was in a hospital. Right after I got there, and I was looking for a particular department, cardiology, in one of the larger hospitals there. And so I went as far as my instructions took me, and there's a lady there, and I said, "I'm looking for this department. Can you help me?" She said, "I sure can." She said, "Do you know where so-and-so is?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "Do you know where the..." I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Oh, now..." I said, "Yes, ma'am." Finally, she turned to me. She said, "Stand right here just a second. Just don't leave. Just stand right here." She went to the nurse's station, and she said, "I want you people to come up here and see what a Southern gentleman sounds like." I just said, "Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am." I was taught to do that. Listen, we don't have to get crabby. We don't have to get bitter. We ought to be a joy for a waitress to wait on. Amen. We ought to be a joy for someone to have us as a neighbor. Why? We've got an abundant life, and we got something we can share. Now, the purpose of one is distinctly described. You couldn't mistake it if you wanted to. The purpose of the other is distinctly described. You couldn't misunderstand it if you wanted to. It ought to be easy for us to say, "I believe I want God's purpose accomplished in my life." Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for clear teaching in the Word of God that cannot be misunderstood. Lord, it's kind of like the verse we talked about last night, the wages of sin and the gift of God, the purpose of Satan and the purpose of God. May we choose even more so today to see your purpose accomplished in our life, to see the purpose of Satan. Even though we're saved, he still has that purpose. May we determine, God, the more I fulfill your purpose, the further I'll be from the purpose of Satan. Thank you for speaking to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Pastor.